From our studios in Nashville, Tennessee, we bring you Ask WWCR, a bi-weekly program that discusses the operation of WWCR and various topics of interest to all shortwave listeners. And now, here's the current edition of Ask WWCR.
Welcome to Ask WWCR, program number 522, which is intended for broadcast October the 11th through 25th, 2019. I'm Brady Murray, and I'm joined telephonically again by Dr. Jerry Plummer. Doc, how are you?
Things are good, Brady. I appreciate you telephonically working with me. I can't get over there today, but that's all good. Everything's good.
We'll work back up to that, I'm sure, in the near future, maybe somewhere, if possible, around the 25th, because as you and I had been talking about a little bit off air, the new frequency schedule begins on October the 27th.
Sure does. Yeah, sure does. And by the way, along those lines, and I know this will kind of lead in maybe to some of the things you got, but I was telling just before we started that we got our letter today from the FCC that they send out every time in advance of the seasons that approves the schedule that we've got built up.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the chief of the Global Strategy and Negotiation Division, International Bureau. And I guess that this is really the big dog of that whole section as compared to, you know, we deal with Tom Lucey and his associate most of the time, but I guess this is from the big dog. And it actually shows for the first time, Brady, we got more than two frequencies in band. That's kind of unusual
really?
For us, you know?
Well, that is good, and it's good to be approved and ready to move forward on October the 27th. And that does remind me to remind our audience that on October the 27th, that starts step zero of the new season, but it's going to be exactly 1 week later when we adjust our times, the states in the United States that do that, which is most of them, when we fall back an hour. So UT will change 1 week later, but the schedule will remain the same.
Sure will. And we do that for several reasons. We do it because it's easier, I think, for the listener to make that one change.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly easier for us, too, as far as board operators
yeah.
and things like that, to make the one change rather than try to make two of them. It gets confusing.
Yeah, operationally, it's a big help to do that one time. And, Doc, we've experienced a huge decrease in the daylight hours, and it's just going to continue until about February, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're about a week ahead on that, but it's not – there could be some bumpy spots as far as reception changing, but it's not likely to be that much of a difference, and if it is, it's only going to last a week.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, it's kind of like putting the frog in the boiling water. Slowly but surely, our daytime keeps getting shorter and shorter until such a point like now you say, wow, what happened to being light at 9 o'clock at night, you know?
Sure.
What on your medium waves, what is the time you're cut off now in the evenings?
For Nashville, it's 6:15 p.m.
6:15.
And it will go down to 4:30 by December.
Whoa, I remember that. When it gets 4:30, that's when you get up and it's dark, and when you get off work, it's
mm-hmm.
dark. You know?
Yeah, on the good side, when we set back an hour, we'll get an hour back in the morning. Presently, our sunrise time, estimated time for this month of October, is 7 a.m.
Okay, so that way you'll pick up an hour in the mornings.
Right.
As a part of this. You know, and you were mentioning to the listeners earlier when you started off, that all the states do. I think it's only like a couple that don't, Indiana and maybe Arizona.
Maybe. Arizona, yeah. Yeah, I don't have that information in front of me, but I think those two do not observe that change.
And there might be some others, too, but by and large, in the domestic United States, most all of the states do. And us doing our step O on the 27th and then keeping it the same as we roll is going to make it easier for the listeners and for us, as you say, operationally.
In fact, it will, yeah. Doc, I was just reminded of something I read this morning that as I was reading it, it reminded me of shortwave in particular, Pacific Gas and Electric. I don't know if you've read this. I believe it was something like 800,000 customers are going to be without power for maybe as much as 5 days due to concerns of wildfires.
Yeah, I read something about that.
Mm-hmm. And, they've deliberately cut off the power because of windy conditions that they believe may have led to wildfires, or at least let's say that they're thinking that they can help prevent that in kind of central northern California area. And so, hey, you still got the shortwave. I wondered when I read that, does this mean that if you've got a station that's just huge and really can't be powered by a generator, does that mean those radio stations are off? Right, right.
I don't know. But, yeah, I'd read something about that there was pushing like a million people that are going to be out of power totally for 5 days because of that.
Talking about 5 days without power. So, once again, you know, it's not an actual emergency. It's preparation in the event that one, you know, could be prevented. But that goes right back to shortwave again, and we talk about that a lot in NASB and also at the HFCC about how shortwave is so valuable in conditions just like that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's a situation there where you don't have the Internet. You don't have you don't have any kind of power. So that kicks right back to the shortwave. That's there. That's your trusted friend that's going to be there 24/7.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you know, we talk about that a lot, and you know, I know some people say, "Yeah, when's the internet down?" Well, here's a good example here in California.
A couple of weeks ago,
when you have periodic outages, I know you know, here at my place, 2 weeks ago, I had a storm knocked the power out. Tree fell. I was 2 days where really all I had from a power standpoint or communication was a shortwave.
Yes.
And I listened to it intently for 2 days because, you know, I didn't have internet, I didn't have anything, but I still had shortwave.
Right, right. I was going to say a couple of weeks ago there was a massive outage for Verizon. And I was at a particular location, and everybody there who had Verizon service was not able to make a call, text, get any information. It's really not all that uncommon.
No, it's really not. And, you know, when you look about things like the power grid that we got is so old, and we got to where we rely so much on the Internet, and that means you're going to have to rely on your guys like your Verizon or your AT&T. And when that's down, it's down. I know that President Lynn deals with a major company that's a backbone for a lot of their stuff. They were down last week, and you're just losing money straight up, and you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking her, so what are you doing over there? And she says, well, strangely enough, I'm tuning the shortwave right now. And she says, I'm listening to Brother Stair, and I said, he doesn't do many weather reports, you know, but you'll find others. Again, I said 1300 would be a spot that gives you the traffic in the mornings, and you also get weather, too.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
In that sense, she turned over the medium wave, and she was able to keep up with what was going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She told me, she says, there you go. She says, I hear you guys talking all the time about power outages. I didn't really think about it, but when the power's out, radio is what you got. That's about it.
That is it. That is it, for sure. Doc, I wanted to mention, we've got several things to get to, and we're obviously not going to have time to do it all, but I definitely wanted to mention this. 2 days ago, as we're cutting this broadcast, we are officially now testing tuning components that we've had machined that were not ordered directly from the manufacturer of the transmitters, and so far, so good. There's two different shops involved. One of them is Kentronic Labs, and then the other one is a local machine shop, and they have worked with me, my gosh, for at least a year, just trial and error. Does this work? Does this look okay? And we finally got it to where we think it's at least worth a shot. Nothing has been finalized, but it's in good enough shape to run it for, we're thinking about a week, and make sure that this particular part of our tuning mechanism is running. And in fact, it ran yesterday. It's going to run today, and we'll continue to monitor transmitter number 4, which is 9980 and 5890. If all goes well, we'll be producing these, we'll be buying directly from these folks who are producing these tuning components. Right. That's going to keep us in good shape for years to come, and hopefully drive down our costs considerably too.
Well, you, in a way, a little bit, you sell yourself short, because the second local producer or manufacturer or vendor is the one that you found. And you're the one that located those guys, and you're the one that started working with them. And I know Phil's helped a lot, but you're really the one that found them, located them, convinced them. And that's good news. So it's actually running. The first of those sets, that's good news. And I know you got them a lot cheaper than you could have bought them somewhere else.
Yeah, I hope so. I really don't have a cost on it yet. They told me that they wanted to get it right before we even talked about cost. So it's just been very experimental at this time, but very intricate. It's not the most complicated thing you've ever seen, but the material that you work with it's common, but not for what we're using it for. And so it's hard to work with because it's not like a metal, and so it's got some bend to it when it's on a machine.
Mm-hmm,
and so they actually have invented something that will thread this, and it appears to be working. So we're very grateful.
I bet that the way it's going to work out is that the first one will be the worst one. Because the first one is where you'll wind up paying for the dyes and that.
Right.
Once it works, then they can just start popping them out like whenever you want to.
Sure, it's just a little mini factory. There's a program that they set it to, and they just go from there. So we're hoping
that also ties in with sort of a long. You've been doing this for a stretch, because those modulator cars, I know that was a couple of years ago, but you were able to get those produced at probably 10 cents on the dollar.
We've had a lot of help with that. We've had some others have some input on that. But I do want to make sure that we note on that topic that the folks at the University Network were a huge help with us.
They were. Pastor Scott's guys were a huge help. And in fact, they're running them down there in Anguilla as we speak, just mm-hmm. like we are.
Mm-hmm. She's got some exceptionally talented folks that obviously aren't afraid to learn about some new things. I know that that's not there's one gentleman involved who is an engineer, but not an RF engineer. And according to Phil, he's really a quick study and very valuable asset to their Anguilla operation.
I think he is. When I was down in Anguilla with those guys for almost a week about this time last year, I was around the engineer for a week. And he's really, like Phil says, he's a smart guy. But what makes him smart is he knows he doesn't know. Because he says, you know, if I have any kind of doubts, I pick up the phone and call Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, that's a smart man right there. He knows that Phil knows more about it. And he's got a PhD in engineering. But he's also smart enough to know that if you got somebody you can ask questions, you ought to take advantage of it.
Well, I think you can attest to the fact that when you get that PhD, it really, you've learned a lot, but you've learned that there's a whole lot you don't know. Virtually everything, right?
Yeah, I know when I had just completed mine, my mentor called me one day and he says, so how do you think? I said, you know, I don't think I know anything about anything. And he said, that's a good sign. Why is that? And he says, you know, when you get this far along, you really start to understand how little you know of everything. And that's the way this engineer with Pastor Scott's guys are. You kind of show him, and he's not afraid to ask questions.
And that's a good tie-in right back to our friends at the machine shop and at Kentronic Labs.
Yep.
Just working together and figuring out what the parts that we each know and how to combine that and move forward. Doc, we're going to run out of time. I want to make mention that the Power Hour was heard on 13845, and this was on the 9th of October, and it was right from the start. Right when we started on 13845, that'd be 7 a.m. local time, and this comes from Sweden with an excellent Senpo.
Whoa!
Just right from the start, very, very pleased to get that one. And again, Doc, we're big doings in Pakistan with the Pakistan Listener Club.
Yeah,
and Muhammad says that once again, he's picked us up with a great Senpo on 15825.
Boy, that you know, 15825 and 4840 always amaze me. They just seem like they get everywhere.
They do get everywhere, Doc. That is truly all the time we've got. Hopefully, we'll meet up together in the studio next time. Okay.
All right. Sounds good to me, Brady.
Ask WWCR is a biweekly presentation of WWCR Incorporated. If there are questions you would like to have answered during the show, send them to Ask WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. You can also send an email to askwwcr@wwcr.com. No email attachments, please. That's askwwcr@wwcr.com. Be listening for your questions to be answered on future editions of Ask WWCR.